I'm Johnny B. Good, the host of the podcast Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon. This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, CentraTech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire. If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
Listen to Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My whole life, I've been told this one story about my family, about how my great-great-grandmother was killed by the mafia back in Sicily. I was never sure if it was true, so I decided to find out. And even though my Uncle Jimmy told me I'd only be making the vendetta worse, I'm going to Sicily anyway. Come to Italy with me to solve this 100-year-old murder mystery. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Minnie Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Minnie Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.
Go behind the wheel, under the hood, and beyond with Car Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hi, and welcome to Car Stuff. I'm Scott.
And I am Ben. You are you. We are, of course, joined by our super producer, Noel the Lambo Brown.
The Lambo?
I think that's a cool one.
That's pretty cool one. I do like that one.
You know, if somebody, for some reason, you started having the nickname The Lambo.
Yeah.
And you have to have that definite article on the front, The Lambo.
Of course.
You feel pretty cool.
If you just said Lambo, you might think like a lamb, like a precious little lamb.
Yeah.
Well, or maybe, I don't know, is the name Mr. 3000 already taken? I think it is. That's a movie, isn't it?
Well, there's Andre 3000.
There's a movie called Mr. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know the connotation of that, so I better not touch that one.
Yeah, you want a nice round number.
We are here today to make good on a promise that we made in an earlier episode.
Oh, yes, years back.
And, actually, going deeper than that, actually, really, there's a promise. Maybe we blew this one just a little bit because of the timing, and that was unintentional. But today we're going to talk about the Gumball 3000 rally.
Mm-hmm.
And this is more of an update, really, because we've done this one in the past.
Yes, in December of 2009, we took a look at the origin and genesis and present at that time of the Gumball 3000.
Yeah, we'll reiterate a little bit of that, but not as in depth as we did in that one, I guess. Mm-hmm. That one was kind of more of an explainer about what it's all about and who the players are and mm-hmm. How it became a thing. And there's some important updates to make.
Right.
Of course, and that's why we're here. We're going to do this. But there's some other news that I think our Car Stuff listeners are going to find interesting. And maybe not as interesting as we find it, Ben, but it's interesting indeed. And I had some friends that thought this was interesting as well.
This is a weird one. Okay, so first things first. You don't have to listen to our 2009 episode before you listen to this. It will help.
Yeah.
You'll get a lot more context and perspective and history. But just the quick and dirty explanation, when someone asks you, hey, the Lambo, what's the Gumball 3000? Your answer will be that it is a yearly celebrity motor rally, not a race. And most importantly, it takes place on public roads.
That's a very important point to make, is that it's not a race. It is a rally. And a lot of rallies make sure to make that very, very clear. You said 3000 miles, right?
Yeah.
7 days. International, so this goes, this crosses borders. In fact, this crosses continents.
Mm-hmm.
It's a huge event. You said celebrity motor rally. They get musicians, they get celebrities from movies, they get industry leaders of all sorts that want to participate in this. They get people that are just obscenely wealthy that want to participate in this. And I say obscenely, I guess maybe, people with a, high net worth.
Yes.
That have money to blow on specialty cars, that have, you know, a week to take off to engage in extremely extravagant parties and stay at five-star hotels and just hobnob with, you know, the who's who, I guess, of the time.
Right.
Because this has been going on for a long, long time, since 1999. That's when it was begun. Mm-hmm. Or that's when it began, in 1999. So this is the 18th year. This year in 2016.
Mm-hmm. And congratulations.
Yeah, that's right. They had a successful run this year as well. So, again, the Gumball 3000 is still in existence in 2016, and it seems like it's going to be going on for a long, long time.
Mm-hmm. So, Scott, before we continue any further, I think it's time to let the badger out of the bag, to let the camel out of the can. I'm just making up phrases.
Where are these all coming from? I think I've heard you say the badger one, and I was going to tell you that I like that expression. That's a good one.
Yeah? Better than camel in the can?
I like that better than let the cat out of the bag. I like the badger out of the bag is better.
There's something to be said for alliteration.
Yeah, I agree. But it made us from writing headlines all these years.
But our point is that we received a very interesting email way back in March of this year.
Yeah, interesting indeed, Ben. Here, and I'll read most of this, not all of it.
Yeah.
So in late March, we received this email. It says, "Longtime fan here from London. Started when I came across your show after a visit to the Stuff You Should Know website, our webpage, having listened to How Stuff Works podcast for a while. After many podcasts, it's got me thinking that perhaps you might be interested to do a show on the company I work for, Gumball 3000. All right, so this is just kind of coming out of nowhere, right?
Dun, dun, dun.
Just one day I was at work and this showed up, so this is interesting. It says, we have an interest worldwide and a huge following in the States especially. You may or may not know who we are, but we shouldn't be hard for you to find out a lot about us.
Understatement of the year.
Yeah, I mean, we already knew who this is, right?
Yeah.
We did the show 7 years prior. So in a nutshell, we are what many describe as a rock and roll rally, driving 3,000 miles in 7 days across various continents while having crazy parties, dinners, converts, and charity auctions along the way. Now, that's something new, actually.
Mm-hmm.
The Gumball 3000 has always had a mystique surrounding it, from rumors of how hard it is to get on the rally or how expensive it is, to the crazy cars which get built just for this occasion, and the things that do or do not happen at our parties. And there's a lot of, like, rumors and wives tales about what happens at these parties and mm-hmm. the whole event. He says, I or we can provide you with lots of information regarding the event, and there's a lot of contact on the web regarding us from where we have been to the celebrities that have attended. That means, like, all the cities that they've been to. You know, there's a lot of information out there. A lot of people see this. We are now far more than a rally for supercars and wacky ones at that. Gumball is now a lifestyle brand with an apparel line, charity foundation, hedge fund, and an HNW networking events. Oh, you know what? HNW, that's high net worth. Networking events, let alone the amazing parties we host year-round. That was news to me. Year-round parties. I didn't know that they did that.
Yeah.
He says, it'll be great to hear your feedback on this. And then here's a little side note. This is maybe the most interesting part of the note now that we know what we know, Ben. Look out for some post.
Right. When we first read that, we weren't quite sure what that meant.
Yeah, this is from a guy named Lee Bailey, mm-hmm. and he's in client relations for the Gumball 3000 Entertainment Company. And Lee, again, just reached out to us. We didn't contact them first or anything, but he says, look out for some posts. And I thought, well, that's interesting.
That's cool.
Yeah, we'll see what arrives. That's interesting.
I think it's great. It was a great suggestion to take a closer look at the Gumball Rally. And we decided we were going to do it. Scott, you corresponded with him a little.
I did, but I only corresponded after I received that post. Now, you want to tell them what we received? This is impressive.
So, gosh, just a few days afterward, we received a mysterious black envelope.
Yeah, I thought it was an album. It felt like an old vinyl album.
Right, yeah, like an old EP or something.
Yeah, and a big black envelope.
So, we received a handwritten note from Lee that said it was from the Gumball headquarters. And asked us again if we'd be interested in doing the show. And he said, it's an exclusive event. There are rumors and stories about the rally, its cars, how you can join parties and such. And said it should make for good listening, which is a great point.
Okay, but that's kind of an open-ended note, right?
It's just
like, here, you know, we thought you might be interested in the story.
But that was not the only thing in the package, my friends. We also, he gave us his business card, which is very nice.
Oh,
very
Ben,
classic.
You're teasing us. Just come out with it, man. What was the best part of this whole envelope?
We got invited to the Gumball Rally 3000 2016.
Yes, and the invitation itself is incredible. I'll be honest with you. This is something, and I'll take a photo of this and post it on our Facebook
page.
Yeah,
please do.
It goes along with this episode, but this is an impressive invitation, and you can find these online from other people who have been invited, but this one says, Maximilian Cooper invites Scott and Ben to participate in the 18th annual Gumball 3000 Rally. And this is a very heavy piece of cardboard. It's black cardboard. It is embossed, so it has some texture to it. Gold, white print, and, you know, of course, handwritten calligraphy, Scott and Ben. Dublin to Istanbul, you know, the Gumball 3000. It's very impressive. There's a front and back. The back has a map of the route, you know, where they'll be traveling, 3,000 miles, 100 cars. 7 days, I think it says 12 different countries.
Uh-huh.
And I thought, holy cow, this is really, really cool. This thing, I'll be honest with you, this invitation is worthy of framing and putting on the wall. It's that impressive. It's really cool. I'd like to find a way to do it where you can see both sides, maybe in glass or something.
Sure,
but,
yeah.
It's difficult to do that, but it's really, really impressive. I think Ben and I are going to have a fist fight over who gets to keep this eventually.
Probably.
But, we'll put it on the wall here at the office, and it's something of
interest. Maintain a truce for now.
Yeah, for now, we're okay. We're still friends. But but it's really an interesting thing, and super jacked to get this in the mail. It was just really exciting, like an adrenaline rush almost. Because I never thought I'd be invited to something like this. And, you know, whether you like it or don't like it for many reasons that we'll talk about, you know, in this episode.
Right.
I still think it's really cool to be invited. I'm super appreciative of it.
And we're recording this a few days. Let's see. We're recording this as the rally is ongoing, actually.
Yeah, yeah. It's ongoing.
Because it started on May 2nd.
Yeah, so they're in progress right now. They're actually holding this rally. And I guess that gives it away that we didn't participate in this year's rally. And there are a lot of reasons for that. In fact, there's many thousands of reasons that we're not there.
But a bump.
Which will come up in my note here in just a moment. Now, what I initially thought, Ben, when we received this, and we'll get to a little bit more meat of this subject
in just
a moment here. But what I initially thought with it when we received this, and I was kind of, you know, showing around the office, you know, because it's show off like that, right?
You're basically the Kanye West of how stuff works.
For that day I was, yeah. For that day I was. So I was showing everybody this, and, you know, I don't know if everybody quite got how impressed I was with this thing, or they knew how impressed I was. They weren't really that impressed. But I thought it was more of a symbolic invite, you know, that, you know, we want you to do this show on the thing, but we know that you're probably not going to, you know, drive out here in a supercar, you know, bring it over to Dublin, Ireland, and race in this actual rally. But I wrote back to the guy. I wrote back to Lee.
You did, yeah.
And I said, you know, hey, I'm just curious, what does this actually mean? Because I had different opinions from other people. You know, they were saying, like, no, this is an invite to participate. And I thought, no, they want us to cover it as media maybe, or, you know, just here in the States, you know, just do a show about it. Turns out, you know, after I wrote back and said, you know, I'm trying to figure all this out. We've only got a month to do this, and the logistics of it are blowing my mind because we have to find a way to get a car. And not only that, get the car, use it in the rally, and return it in a different country.
And with my criminal record, that's no small thing.
And we've heard some speculation about what it costs to enter this rally. I didn't outright ask that.
Right.
But I was asking about hotel accommodations and, you know, how it would all work out, because I was just curious about this whole thing. So I wrote back, and, you know, just a day or two later, got a response from Lee. And he said, no, indeed, that is an invite to participate in the rally. We thought we'd invite you. And
it's so cool. Thank you again, Lee.
An incredible gesture. Very nice. But I'll be honest with you. When I got down to about three quarters of the way down this list, the entry fee is what is the big holdup here on this.
It is an exclusive rally.
It is exclusive, yes. The entry fee for this rally this year is 35,000 British pounds. Now, that's for two people and one car, and it covers everything in the event. So that, you know, the 35,000 is just what you pay to get in, and then everything is covered after that. You're taken care of.
Yeah.
You get all the five-star hotels, the breakfast, the lunch, the dinner, the exclusive parties, the concerts they put along the way, all the events, everything. You know, the driving events they do at you know, Formula One circuits on the way. Just incredible things. Mm-hmm. You know, meeting and greeting celebrities along the way and notable, I think they met some F1 people as well in this.
Right, models, race car drivers, rock stars.
And if they haven't yet been, because they're in progress, they will.
Yeah.
So I looked up what 35,000 British pounds is in U.S. dollars.
Oh, man, why are you going to do this?
It's $50,564.15. Now, I understand it's an exclusive event, and it was, sure, it was such an honor to be invited to this thing, but I just simply can't front that. The company is not going to front that for us, I don't think, Ben.
For me, it was mainly scheduling.
Yeah, yeah. So it's a super nice offer, Lee. Yeah. We really do appreciate it, and we'd love to make it work. And he says, you know, we only had 4 weeks this year to try to make this happen. Maybe next year we can make it happen. I like the idea of that.
Yeah,
that we can
be great.
Think about it. Because who knows what happens in a year, right? Maybe,
right.
Maybe we're bought by a parent company that says, hey, let's send Ben and Scott over to Europe to participate in this thing. That'd be great.
Or hey, maybe
a lot of fun.
One of us publishes the great American novel.
But man, can you, yeah, maybe one of us, and I'm not writing right now. So get to work.
I'm on it.
But anyways, I don't know how to overemphasize this enough that we're just super excited to be invited to this thing and totally unexpected. Came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Really appreciative of that. And I wish we could have made it work, but it just wasn't possible this year to do it. So that's where we're coming from. We got this invite. It's really, really cool. We're going to hang it on the wall here.
Mm-hmm.
And this year's rally, as you said, is underway. And wish we could be there, but we can't. There's some interesting things that have happened in the last 7 years since we talked about it. And
mm-hmm.
there's some criticisms. There's also some good things that have happened.
Right.
You know, one thing that they have added that I think is really impressive, and this is one thing that a lot of people pointed to as being a problem with this rally, and we'll kind of temper these along the way with, you know, pro-con things.
Well, yeah, let's do pro-cons.
Yeah, because you know, the cons are that, you know, this is just a crazy event for super rich people to get together and show off and to act poorly, you know, to kind of break the rules and, you know, knowingly break the rules because they're paying for it.
Right.
You know, a lot of people say that's what they're doing, and they're not really doing any good, you know, along the way. They're just it's kind of a self-serving thing.
Yeah.
And that was a lot of the argument that we had against it, and not we, but people had of it back in 2009.
Yeah.
That's changed as of 2013.
Why is that?
Because they are now a charity event.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that I think along the way they had done some other smaller things, but right now they've actually they've teamed up with a lot of different children's charities, I believe. And they have something called the Charity Grid. And this is interesting because every Gumball participant now is asked to use that opportunity, you know, the starlight, I guess, the limelight, in order
right.
to get people to donate to these charities. And the way they work this is that, and the way they encourage people to get, you know, people to send money, or, you know, whether it's friends, family, relatives, whatever, or, you know, wealthy celebrities that they know or something, you know, along the way,
right.
to write some big checks. They give them an opportunity to start further up on the grid than everyone else. And I think this is kind of common in rally events, and, you know, on every scale. I think we've talked to about, you know, Glenn Beck and his efforts. And I think that, you know, that is also laid out as well as,
yeah.
You know, who starts where on what days. And also you get, you know, maybe a T-shirt that signifies that you've raised over $1,000.
And by the way, go Team Limer.
Yeah, Team Limer, you know, he's coming up on his rally time here. So
yeah.
If it hasn't already started,
right.
I have to look into the calendar. But the Gumball 3000 Foundation was established in 2013 and is to benefit disadvantaged youth through educational, recreational, environmental-focused projects around the world. And this is the kind of thing where, you know, they'll write a $100,000 check to a charity. And it's not just one charity. They donate to the Tony Hawk Foundation, the When You Wish Upon a Star Foundation, the Sir Malcolm Milton Foundation, the Nelson Mandela Children's Fund in the UK, the Westway Trust, the Lazarus Sports for Good Foundation. There's just a lot of different children's charities that they donate to. And so again, it's kind of combating that argument that, you know, they're very self-serving, that they're not,
right.
they're really in it just for themselves. And it's, I think there's still a part of that that's like that, you know, that, you know, it's sure this is a wealthy man's sport or wealthy person's sport.
Sure.
Or event. But they're doing their part to give back to the community now as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's good. That's definitely positive. There's other positives along the way too, but that's one that I felt we needed to get out there because in 2009 rather, we didn't have that info available.
Who hasn't heard names like Achilles or Odysseus, Cassandra, Medusa?
But how much do you know about them from the ancient world? Let's Talk About Myths, Baby is the podcast bringing the ancient sources to life. Greek myth and history is timeless, and unless you've been living under a rock, you have seen just how true that is today. But there is so much more to these characters and stories than what pop culture can do justice. I'm Liv Albert, the host of Let's Talk About Myths, Baby, and every week I bring you stories from the ancient world, both mythological and historical, to breathe new life into these thousands of years old stories. I'm also regularly joined by some of the most brilliant names in the field of archaeology and ancient history, authors of your favorite retellings from today, and everyone in between. Join me as I dive into the wild world of the ancient Greeks and their stories. Listen to Let's Talk About Myths, Baby on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old us.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. I'm Abby, a mother of two, and I had these battles myself. Endless excuses, delay tactics, and many tears and tantrums. But I've created a solution. The perfect kids podcast that makes bedtime a dream. It's called Koala Moon, and it's hosted by me, Abby. With over 300 episodes, packed with original stories and sleep meditations, Koala Moon makes bedtimes easy and enjoyable. Episodes start out engaging and really rather magical, but as they progress, they gently slow to a calm and relaxing pace to have your little ones out like a light. Since launching in 2022, Koala Moon has helped with over 20 million nights sleep and received over 6,000 five-star reviews. Win back your evenings. Listen to Koala Moon now on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, and there's another thing that I think we should talk about here, Scott, which we didn't really touch on in our previous podcast on the Gumball 3000.
What's that?
And that's we haven't taken a look at that criticism that you just alluded to.
Oh, we didn't dive into that. I didn't listen to that. You listened to the episode before you came in here.
It was a few weeks back.
Okay.
And I'm going to be honest with you. It's kind of late at night.
Yeah.
So I may have missed some of it.
I understand.
But one of the things that makes it a little bit controversial, especially our buddies at Jalopnik have written some pretty cutting things.
Yeah, they have. They're not big fans, are they?
No, they're not the biggest fans. And some of their criticisms go down to, the idea that they think it might be excess or that these drivers are flouting the law or rules of the road. Because, again, we can't emphasize enough, this happens on public roadways.
Okay, I'll be honest here. I'm gonna come back with another point here that will counter that. But I understand what they're saying, and I was reading this article, and I was kind of blown away by it. And I think even more so when I got to the comments from the readers. There was a lot of hate in those comments. And the article here is, and this is from a, it was re-released actually. They re-released it right before this rally. So this was initially from May 28th, 2015, and it was about the 2015 rally. It's titled "The 12 Reasons Why the Gumball 3000 is Over."
Yeah,
dead.
Yeah,
really, finally. And It's interesting, you know, the idea is that, you know, they describe what happens in the excess and all that, you know, the flagrant flaunting, I guess, of the money and the, you know, the supercars and, you know, the disregard for law and all that that you just mentioned. And then they have a scan of a printed page that was handed to every gumball participant in 2015 just before they entered Germany.
Right.
And this goes back to some bad blood between, the Gumball Rally, and when at a time earlier in 2007, when mm-hmm. they were crossing Germany,
right.
There was an incident in 2007 where there were a couple of fatalities and an accident, and that's a dark spot on the history of the Gumball 3000 for sure.
Yes.
But there is this article and the scan. If you read through the scan, you're going to find that they are really crippling the Gumball Rally as it comes through Germany because what it stands for, you know, like the spirit of the rally, I guess. You can read this a couple of different ways, I suppose, you know, whatever side of the fence you're on about this whole thing. But they're talking about limiting speeds as they drive through. So here we are in the land of the Autobahn and supposedly unlimited speed. And, you know, the rest of Europe is very tough on speeders to begin with.
Right.
So, you know, as they go through Sweden and Norway and Denmark and Germany and Holland, all those, and the United States even, they're pretty tough on speeders in these areas to begin with. I mean, Germany, I guess, maybe a little less in certain areas, of course. But what they're doing is they're saying, well, when you come through Germany this time, this year, in 2015, we've got a new set of rules for you. Mm-hmm. And this pertains in particular to this event. And the rules, it was like you can't drive, and I'll just paraphrase this, but you can't drive, you know, in groups of 10 or more in formation. And in formation means close and at speed. So
you can take place in small groups of 8 vehicles plus 1 escort.
Yeah, an escort car. And the escort car is there to keep them below a certain posted speed. And I think the top speed on this would be like 74 miles per hour.
Yeah.
But in a lot of cases, they were going to limit them to 37 miles per hour as they pass through certain regions. And it seems like they were just really, really trying to back down what these guys do when they come through. I understand.
Minimize the possibility of an incident. They were also given a specific route.
Yeah. And not to deviate from that route. And if you do deviate from that route, you'll be fined or your car might be confiscated, your license taken away.
Right.
And these are all things that they've done to gumballers in the past.
And this was not the fastest route. This was not the most scenic route. This was the route dictated by German law enforcement.
Exactly. And this goes back to, before we even do that, I'm going to say that, you know, the Jalopnik writer here said, you know, ha, take that, you know, that kind of, is that kind of,
it was snarky.
It really was. And then the comments, you know, below were like, serves them right. This is the way they should be treated, you know, treating public roads like this. But the main argument that a lot of people had with this, and I understand this argument, is that the rally doesn't take place on private roads or private, you know, circuits or whatever. It happens on public roads.
Right.
And that's the problem, is that, you know, if you're gonna be on public roads and acting the way that some gumballers do, not all, of course, you're gonna have some problems because they're gonna highlight or they're gonna spot the, I'll just put it bluntly, the jackass in the crowd that is going way too fast or not using his turn signals.
The one bad apple.
Yeah, cutting off people and stuff like that. You know, that happens. I get that. But think about this, Ben. That happens a lot with sport bike riders too, here in the United States and all over the world, really.
Yeah.
They get a bad rap for the people that don't ride properly. Mm-hmm. And this is, I think, a similar thing. This just happens to be one event where this focuses on them for that week. And they know they're coming through, and not everyone drives like that. Not everyone behaves that way.
All.
We get it. That's just the problem that comes along with something like this. They see that one person acting that way, or maybe a couple. I understand it happens. But that's the rep that they get for, you know, the entire event. And that's not fair. I don't think that's fair to do to sport bike riders. I don't think that's due to just motorcycle riders in general either.
I don't think so either.
I don't think it's fair to do to sports car owners here, you know, anywhere in the world. And I don't think it's fair to do to just gumballers as well. I think that, you know, you segment out the ones that are the bad apples, as you say, and you say that's the way they behaved and we don't condone that. We don't, we don't say that that's the right thing to do, but they happen to behave that way while they're part of our event.
And also, we should point out that these kind of regulations can happen with any international racing event or rally event.
Yeah, sure. They get word that it's coming through their country. Mm-hmm. They don't want any trouble because they've maybe heard of, you know, they've heard the rumors, they've heard the wives' tales, the speculation,
yeah.
What it's all about. So then they craft a set of specific rules in order to hobble that event as it comes through their particular province or whatever, or country even. And that's exactly what Germany did with this document back in 2015. So kind of like, I guess you can call it neutering the event, really. I mean, that's what they did. They took the, think so? Yeah, I feel that way about it. The thing is, and I try to look at this a few different ways because I get that, you know, there's some jerks in the crowd. Sure. I get that happens. You know, there's some show offs, some people that, you know, are not being very responsible with the power that they've been given, right?
Uh huh.
I do feel this. I feel that you need to maybe look at it in a different way. If you look at it and you simply love it for what it is, if you understand that, you know, this is meant to be kind of a crazy, showy event, and it's built on the idea that it's a week of excess. Mm-hmm. It's a week where people
drive all day, party all night.
That's exactly right. It's the rock and roll lifestyle in for 1 week for these people that have the money to do something like this. Jealousy, I understand, comes into this. I know that there's I'm sure that's part of it, and people won't admit to that. They won't say that, yeah, I'm jealous that, you know, I can't do this myself. But they will say, you know, like, these people are acting like, you know, jerks on the road, and I don't think that's right. That's a valid argument, but you also can't let your jealousy get involved in this as well. You need to look at it for what it is and realize that, yeah, there is this group of people that can afford something like this and that can have fun doing something like this.
Uh-huh.
If they endanger other people, that's another thing. I get that. That's a bad part of it. But look at it more as like a spectator event, Ben. You know, like where if you're not going to be able to participate in this, you can enjoy what's happening at these events. You can like the parties. You look at the photos of the parties or the videos of the parties and say, man, what that must be like to live like that for a week.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. So here's the difficult part for me, Scott, regarding the Gumball Rally.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but
same old us.
Oh, yeah.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed, and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Who hasn't heard names like Achilles or Odysseus, Cassandra, Medusa? But how much do you know about them from the ancient world? Let's Talk About Myths, Baby, is the podcast bringing the ancient sources to life. Greek myth and history is timeless, and unless you've been living under a rock, you have seen just how true that is today. But there is so much more to these characters and stories than what pop culture can do justice. I'm Liv Albert, the host of Let's Talk About Myths, Baby, and every week I bring you stories from the ancient world, both mythological and historical, to breathe new life into these thousands of years old stories. I'm also regularly joined by some of the most brilliant names in the field of archaeology and ancient history, authors of your favorite retellings from today, and everyone in between. Join me as I dive into the wild world of the ancient Greeks and their stories. Listen to Let's Talk About Myths, Baby, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. I'm Abby, a mother of two, and I had these battles myself. Endless excuses, delay tactics, and many tears and tantrums. But I've created a solution. The perfect kids podcast that makes bedtime a dream. It's called Koala Moon, and it's hosted by me, Abby. With over 300 episodes, packed with original stories and sleep meditations, Koala Moon makes bedtimes easy and enjoyable. Episodes start out engaging and really rather magical, but as they progress, they gently slow to a calm and relaxing pace to have your little ones out like a light. Since launching in 2022, Koala Moon has helped with over 20 million nights sleep and received over 6,000 five-star reviews. Win back your evenings. Listen to Koala Moon now on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.
So I understand folks online who have a problem with this will say that it is a one of the Jalopnik comments was that it is a pock on car culture. Mm-hmm. However, on a personal level, my opinion has always been, if it is your car and your money and you're not hurting anyone, then what right do I have to tell you what to do?
Okay, you're free to enjoy it however you choose, right?
Now, right. If you're obeying laws, I think one of the big criticisms, though, is that people are saying some of the drivers will flout laws.
Okay, I understand that. You shouldn't blatantly disregard the laws. I get
sure,
that.
Sure.
It's public roads, you need to keep those safe because there are other people that aren't involved in the rally that are simply trying to get to work or, you know, to their parents' house or whatever.
Right.
That's another argument, I guess. But, so many ways to look at this, Ben. Because
yeah.
If I post a picture on Facebook of somebody standing on top of their car,
uh-huh.
You know, like I think it was somebody from the I'm trying to think of where this picture was, but I think it was a Lamborghini. Somebody standing on the roof of their own Lamborghini. It was their car.
Yeah.
I got so many responses back and forth each way of like, you know, what the hell is that guy doing? He shouldn't do that to a car. You know, that's disrespectful. And other people were saying, it's his car. Let him do what he wants.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
go ahead and do it. You can do anything you want to that car. You can torch it if you want. It's your car.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably against the law, but you know what I mean. You could do anything. So there's variations of this. There's levels of this, I suppose, you know, where people get upset about just about anything, you know.
Sure.
And I think that some of it is based in jealousy. Some of it is just simply, that's not the way they would behave, and maybe that's why they have the criticism.
Sure.
And I get that, too. It just becomes kind of like a – not really a moral quandary or issue, rather. It's more of like just maybe the way you were raised. Maybe it's you know, that you don't have that kind of excessive money and you see it as just a waste.
Yeah.
You see it – you know, you would do better things with the money, you can say, I guess. But, you know, they've got the charity now, and they do charity auctions along the way.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a charitable aspect of this whole thing now that
yeah,
wasn't,
which I
that
think
wasn't
is
there
a,
before.
I think it's a good thing.
It's a nice addition.
Well, we've addressed some of the criticism.
Yeah.
Right? And
yeah.
And I think it really is one of those eye of the beholder things.
One more quick thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was trying to think of another example of this. But remember when we did that cross-country trip that it took, what was it, like 23 hours or something like that? I forget the time. 28 hours, maybe?
Yeah.
It was an episode, a podcast.
Yeah,
episode.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Ed Bolian and mm-hmm. in that Mercedes that he modified.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
People were outraged that we would even talk about that because it was such a danger to the public because they were doing it on public roads going from,
right.
Was it New York to Santa Monica, I think?
Uh-huh.
So it was a dangerous trip to be sure.
Actively dodging LEO, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it was a dangerous thing. And some people were saying, like, that's really cool that he did that. And other people were saying, how could you even talk about something like that? That guy put everybody's life in danger on that route for that 28 hours
yeah.
or whatever it was. And, I mean, I don't know. I find that these, it's not, again, not moral. It's more just like, you know, your side of the whole thing, you know, what you've maybe
right.
grown up with, your values maybe.
Well, one thing we can agree on, whether you are a fan of the Gumball Rally or you are a committed enemy and critic thereof, regardless of how you feel, the cars are amazing.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are. And I would like to be around this thing just to see the cars that participate, the 100 mm-hmm. cars.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've got a couple things here about some of the weirdest cars.
Oh, I'd love
of
to hear
2016.
It. Love to hear it.
All right. So there is, I'll save one for last because it's one that we'll look at in further depth. So there's one guy who built his own formula style race car. He's anonymous and we're not sure how street legal or street illegal it is.
Okay.
But at the time of, let's see, as of May 3rd, second day, he had made it to London from Dublin. So he made the first leg at least.
Well, we'll see how that pans out in the end, I suppose.
Briggs Automotive wrapped one of its monotrack cars in gold foil. the company said that they're just going to have it show up at select occasions, I think, is a promotional thing rather than have it drive the whole distance.
Show up at the parties.
Yeah, which makes sense because Gold Foil, like, how is that going to hold up?
Well, okay.
And then another car that we had talked about before that you'll remember, I really loved this vehicle. I'm kind of sad to hear this news. There was a Gumbert Apollo.
Yeah.
And it wrecked.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it slid off in Scotland. The driver and passenger were fine. However, the car took a pretty serious wallop. So
that's not good news. Let's just get this out there. No fatalities in this episode.
No fatalities.
Okay, well, that's good.
It's still running, but it's going to take a lot of time to deal with it.
Yeah, sure.
So
a hand-built, it's a supercar.
Yeah, and this is Team 10, so hopefully at this point they have found a backup car or something.
Mm-hmm.
Another update for Gumball 2016. Originally, it was intended to go from Dublin to Istanbul. However, at this point, they did remove Istanbul from the destination, so the last stop is Romania, Bucharest.
Oh, okay. So they shortened it a bit then.
I wonder if it's a security concern thing, to be honest.
So it's interesting that they shortened it, Ben. I can understand it. And like you said, it could have been a security issue, but we just don't know. There's a lot of turmoil over there right now, so we don't know what's happening.
Yeah, but we do know that if you are in the area, if you're in one of the cities where Gumball stops, it is honestly a once-in-a-year chance, once-in-a-blue-moon chance to see an amazing number of cars that you might not ever see again all in one place.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's quite an event when you're there. I mean, you know, to be on a stop. And there's a few cities, you know, that typically get this rally coming through them regularly. Not all the time, but regularly. Mm-hmm. Like London happens to be one place where they typically start from.
And David Hasselhoff's a regular.
Yeah, to throw that in. David Hasselhoff is a regular in there. Yeah, he's big in Germany still, right?
Right. Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so.
Literally taller.
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding.
I mean, they go London to wherever a lot of times. London to Monte Carlo, London to Paris.
Right.
They go from, of course, they cross continents. So sometimes they go London to Los Angeles or they London to Istanbul, as we said. Some of them start here in the States. They start in San Francisco and go to, you know, Beijing, mm-hmm. Ending at the Olympics. So they try to time it with other events that are happening as well. You know, whether that's worldwide events like the Olympics in Beijing back in 2008 or maybe it doesn't tie in with that. Maybe they go London to New York in 2010 with, you know, stops all across Canada as well. So they really do try to stick with the idea that they're international. They always cross borders. You know, for crossing oceans or, you know, whether it's bays or oceans, sometimes they can use a ferry. Sometimes they will take cargo planes.
Yeah.
Whatever the method.
Sometimes you just gun it so you can jump the channel.
You skip the channel.
Yeah.
That's right. Now, it's really quite an impressive feat to get this whole thing organized, I'm sure.
Absolutely.
Can you imagine? I bet they take – I would be willing to bet that it takes more than a year to plan the next rally. I would bet that they're working more than a year out on getting hotels, the routes planned out, you know, the entertainment along the way, or if not more than a year, then exactly a year.
Oh, absolutely.
To do it. I would think the day after they start planning the next one. You know, try to imagine trying to find cargo planes to haul 100 exotic cars.
Oh, wow.
Across the ocean.
Right.
How do you do that?
I think it would take a while.
I think it would. Yeah. And you wanted to do it and you want to do it, you know, specifically, of course, everything's running on time. It has to do. It has to run that way.
Yeah.
Otherwise, the rest of the event doesn't, you know, falls apart.
Mm-hmm.
So you're dependent on weather in some situations. It's just, there's so many logistics that are involved in this. It's really impressive. And if nothing else, I'd like to talk to Lee and find out, you know, how the planning process goes for this whole thing.
Yeah, that's like, at what point do you begin planning for the next rally?
Yeah, and I still stand by this, Ben. I think that they're thinking more than a year out.
I agree, absolutely. There's just so many moving parts.
Just has to. I mean, there's so much involved in this. And when they do arrive at a place, you know, there's concerts and, of course, these giant parties that are thrown with sponsors and champagne's flowing and everything. It's really quite a spectacle, I guess, when they're there. I'm almost worried, you know, when I first opened this invitation, I was thinking, I don't know if I'm cool enough to hang with these people. I mean, these are celebrities.
Oh, cool. You're pretty cool.
You know, honestly, these are celebrities that are used to partying like this.
What if we got you just a small affectation of some sort, like a beret or a eye patch or a cane sword.
A talking point. Something to lead into the conversation.
One fingerless glove.
Interesting.
Interesting. Terrible advice. I'm knocking out the park with terrible advice.
Pretty bad advice. You're right. But I don't know. There's so many thoughts that go through your head when you're invited to something like this. Like what do you do? Like what would we do for a car? Neither you or I have a supercar, really. I suppose we could rent one. We could rent a supercar. Well, I don't think it's unheard of.
Can rent a supercar, but I don't think renting it for that distance would be a very heard of thing.
I'm saying, though, I think that people do probably rent supercars to do this. I would think that they would, not that you're going to pay per mile or anything, but also, here's the other possibility is that you go to some company there, wherever the start of this is, and you say, look, I have an invite to participate in this.
I'd like a sponsorship.
Why don't you throw your logo all over this car and I'll drive?
Yeah.
Your name gets, dragged all across Europe and, in the parties or whatever, I'll wear a shirt that has your logo on it.
There was one group that was driving a car covered in custom emoji paintings.
Okay. All right. That's somebody who's self-funded, I would suppose. they're not in it for any additional money, I would guess. But okay. So there's so many things about this rally, Ben. I love talking about it, but it does lead into, kind of that I don't know. Is it a good idea? Is it a bad idea? Do you like it? Do you not like it? Why do you not like it?
For
why
it or
do you
it?
Like it? Yeah, it's a for it or again it idea. And we know where certain media outlets stand on the whole thing.
Oh, yeah, no kidding.
I got to say I'm 50-50 on it. I like it. I think I like it more than I don't like it.
Right.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, I think I'm more on the pro side of this thing than the negative side of it. But I can see the point of the people that are on the negative side and why they might not like it.
Right.
But man, I'll be honest, I'm more like 80-20. Like it, don't like it.
To me, I understand the objections people could have. And listeners, of course, we want to hear from you, ladies and gentlemen, your opinion of the Gumball Rally and especially the way it shook out in 2016. In my personal opinion, again, this is only my opinion, I just think supercars are cool and it's cool to see them in person. So maybe they'll get so excited about the Dixie Motor Speedway.
I'm not so sure about that.
I'm not so sure about that.
But yeah, it's a fascinating topic. And I'll stand behind this idea that you need to look at it and love it for what it is rather than any kind of other objection that you might have about, that.
Yeah, it's not a race. It's not Formula One.
Yeah.
And it's never going to be.
I know it's hard to put that stuff aside, but if you look at it as like it's entertainment, it really is entertainment. I mean, to see what happens at these things, just enjoy it for that. More like you're on the outside looking in and just enjoy it for entertainment purposes. So anyways, that's my view of the whole thing. I mean, again, like an 80-20, like it, don't like it thing, but really, since they've added the charity, there's not a whole lot to complain about, really. I mean, they're doing a lot of good things for kids.
And that Batmobile.
Yeah, and that Batmobile that we talked about before.
They're doing a lot of good things for me with that Batmobile.
The Arkham car, and who doesn't love, 100 custom or exotic cars coming into their town? That's really cool. That's a neat thing to see.
And if you were driving the Gumball Rally 3000, what car would be your ideal pick? Don't feel obligated to say Bugatti Veyron. You don't have to drive that. There'll probably be some other people with that as well.
No, obviously you can make a mock-up of a movie car, like the Arkham car that we talked about from Caresto, I think it was.
Uh-huh.
There's all kinds of possibilities. You can have Le Mans prototype cars that are made for the street that you can race in this thing.
The Mad Max car might be a little too gritty for it.
No, I don't know. I think they would accept it. I think they would accept it. As long as you can throw a bunch of logos on there, because that seems to be what you have to do. You have to get the Gumball Rally logos on there. Mm-hmm. You have to have sponsorship, of course, in order to do something like this. But
what a time.
Man, it would be fun.
That's the thing. It must be so much fun.
It really would be. And I wish we could have participated in the 18th edition of it here.
But next time.
Maybe we'll get an invite to the 19th and maybe the situation will be different. I hope it's different in that, we can actually maybe make a go of this.
I don't know, Scott. I'm a pretty busy guy.
Maybe we could use my car. We could use the Volkswagen CC. Yeah. Just throw some Gumball logos on that and go.
You know what? Maybe we should just crash. I wonder how it works. Okay, so listeners, correct me on this too, because I want to hear your thoughts on this. I wonder what happens if, let's take the 2016 run, for example. If someone who lives in Dublin says, you know what, I'm just going to follow these guys. You can't go to the parties, but can they ban you from the roads?
You could follow. Sure, you could follow them. That wouldn't be a problem. Could you keep up? I mean, if you have a supercar.
That's
maybe.
A good that's question.
It's a thing. And you wouldn't be outfitted like they would be, you know, with the rally numbers and all that.
You'd have
you would
to
be
prepare
counted.
Pretty carefully. Yeah.
Yeah, you would. I don't know. I don't know if they would accept you or not if you would be shunned. I have a feeling you'd be pushed out of the group. Don't you think?
Well, okay.
I do have that feeling. I feel
it's
like
a hypothetical person, or is this us?
No, hypothetical person. I think if they show up and they try to kind of get into the mix, it's almost like trying to get in on the cool kid crowd.
I mean, but also I think it's sort of disrespectful to try to do that sort of thing.
Yeah, it's like breaking into a conversation or something.
Or it's like if you see an outdoor wedding, you shouldn't just walk up to it and grab something off the cheese plate.
Oh, we have different ideas about weddings then. No, I'm just kidding. Not a wedding crasher, but that does sound like fun. I don't know. It's an interesting thought. You know, if you decided to just kind of tag along for the whole thing, I wonder what would happen if they noticed you along the way too. But here's the other thing is
that
along the way, aside from the parties and the concerts and all that stuff and, you know, the 5-star hotels, I wonder if there's special permits that are given. You wouldn't be able to attend any of the special things that happen at, let's say, a Formula One track along the way. You wouldn't be granted entrance to that because you're not a member of that. You might have to wait outside, and that would maybe be the most frustrating part because they do a lot of cool things along the way too. It's not just the driving.
Hey, you know, it makes me think this would be a great plot for like a spiritual successor. That's the term producers use. To the original Gumball 3000. We call it Gumball 3000 crash test, right? And it's some guy who, on a whim, probably with a lovable but doofy buddy, decides to try to follow the Gumball rally and crash it.
Yeah.
Maybe, if I'm thinking out loud here, Scott, and hitting the microphone, but maybe it's their dream to meet David Hasselhoff because they have some, like, song or movie idea or whatever.
They're going to put a script in his hand.
Right. Yeah. Cause that always works. And,
that's a funny idea.
I would totally watch that. I would enjoy that.
Yeah. Almost like a Borat thing.
Yeah. You
know, like along the way, like just a clown that follows him along the way and does goofy things.
Mm-hmm.
That might already be happening. We don't know.
That might already, there may well already be hangers on at the Gumball 3000. There
probably are some groupies along the way, you know, people that just want to hang out and be part of that whole scene.
Just to get into the party.
Yeah.
It's got to be legendary.
Why not, man? It seems like a lot of fun. It really does. I'd love to participate sometime. I really would. So, we'll see. Again, we keep talking about it, but maybe next year we'll.
So we'd like to thank Lee Bailey so very much for the invitation. We'd like to thank you for listening, and we want to hear your opinions about the Gumball Rally. Are you for it or against it? And if so, why? And furthermore, if you are for it, if we just blue sky this whole thing, play like Willy Wonka golden ticket rules, and you go to the next Gumball Rally, what car would be your ideal car to drive?
Yeah, what stood out the most to you? What's the most impressive out of the whole bunch?
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe a list of 3 or 4.
Yeah, don't feel like you have to pick one.
No, of course not. This is it's quite an event, and I'm sure it's I guess maybe more of a spectacle when it's there.
Right.
You can't tear your eyes away.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we're going to post some pictures of this invitation to check out on our social media. We're CarStuffHSW at both Facebook and Twitter. If you want to check out our earlier episode on the Gumball 3000, as we mentioned before, you can find it on our website, carstuffshow.com. And if you say, hey, Ben, you just asked me a bunch of questions, and my answers are going to be way longer than Twitter will allow me to make them.
Oh, boy.
And don't worry, my friends. We have just the ticket for you. You can email us directly. We are
carstuff@howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com. Let us know what you think. Send an email to podcast@howstuffworks.com.
I'm Johnny B. Good, the host of the podcast Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon. This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, CentraTech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire. If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
Listen to Creating a Con, the story of BitCon, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Every family has an origin story, one passed down through the generations. Mine happens to be a mystery involving my great-great-grandmother left behind in Sicily. I'm Joe Piazza, and my new podcast will transport you to the gorgeous island of Sicily as I trace my roots back through a whodunit for the ages. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on Season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.